What an awesome, awesome gift of God to give us dads. Man, it's just, especially when they reflect the fatherhood of God, man, there's just nothing like it. Mm. We're also having today a dedication service for Seth Christian Hauser, sitting there in the back. Just wave, Seth. Hey, buddy. Hey, buddy. Like the hat, dude. Man, that works. That totally works. Wow, that's so cool. A dedication and a Father's Day all at the same time. You know, I love that. Man. Back in 1999, when I was being considered for the position of the senior pastor of this church, we had several of the pastors of our sister churches come together for a meeting, and after we prayed, we talked about various things, and they were there to ask questions as far as my qualifications so that they could sort of put their endorsement and blessing on that. And I remember one of the gentlemen there asked me if I had any shepherding experience in terms of shepherding a group of Christians or anything like that. And I was kind of wishing he hadn't asked, because I didn't have any experience at all. I was totally green. I was never a leader of a home group, never holding a position of authority in the church. And I didn't have much of a resume. And so I said, well, actually, sort of embarrassed, I said, no, I don't have any experience at all. I've just basically spent the last 20 years of my life just pouring my life into raising my little girls, raising my daughters and my family. And one of the other pastors there, whom I highly and greatly respect, got this big smile on his face and started shaking his head. It was as if to say, that's just what I'm looking for. That's just what I'm looking for. And when he did that, there was an affirmation in my spirit, something that led me to believe that there is a very strong connection between raising a strong family and building a strong church. I think there's a very, very, very similar parallel dynamic that happens there when raising a church, building a strong church family is very, very similar to raising a strong paternal family. And so I started to suspect that. I'm like, you know, one of those things that makes you go, thank you. And a couple years later, I was taking a course at Moody Bible College, and I had to write a term paper for them about the methods that the Apostle Paul used in caring for the churches that he had established. And as I did my research, I was really pleasantly surprised to find over and over and over again that that's exactly how he approached it. He never looked at the churches that he planted and established as organizations of religion that he had to manage. He looked at them as his family, and specifically he looked at them as his children and saw his role as being their father to raise them to maturity as children of God. And he laid his life down for them to that end. That is so important, man. There's a lot of buildings with crosses on them across the land. And a lot of them are just dead buildings that have a bunch of people that show up and go through a bunch of motions together. They're barely a family, much less an organization. I mean, they're barely an organization, much less a family. But when there is that fathering spirit there that nurtures those relationships and nurtures that love between everybody and provides that covering, man, life happens. Life happens in that place. So we want to look at that a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he really just puts it in so clearly. 1 Corinthians 4:14, the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, the Christians in Corinth, he said, I do not write these things to shame you. He had to give them a little nudge. He says, I don't write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. Let me ask you a question. How many people know what a pedagogue is? Yeah, it's that thing they sell now. You can get them on HSC. You know, you rub it and you, the cow. No. What is that, a pet egg? Tom has one, by the way. You can go to him if you want to check it out. Yeah, I think I must have slept on it or rubbed it on my head or something in the back. I don't know. Oh. Pedagogue, it's the Greek word there that's translated instructors. And what you would have back in New Testament times, you didn't go to public school, they didn't have public school. They had some private schools, but most often you had these teachers who were basically slaves. 60% of the population in Roman times, in New Testament times, were slaves. They had slaves for labor. They had businessmen-type slaves, white-collar slaves, if you want to call them that. Although I guess they had togas then, so white toga slaves. They had, you know, and it was because of the wars that they had and all of the poverty that resulted and the death. Anyway, they had these teachers who were basically slaves, and each one would have a primary subject that they taught. And so you might have these guys come into the house, you know, in groups or one at a time, but you'd have all these different pedagogues, all these different teachers that would teach you all these different things. The ones who could afford to send them to the finer schools, they would even have pedagogues who would take the children to the schools and make sure they got to their various classes and things. And Paul said, you can have 10,000 of these guys giving you all kinds of data if that's what you need, information. But you only have one Father. And you know, being a pastor, being a father, either way, is so much more than just giving out data. A teacher will give you information. A father gives you his life. Same for a good, strong pastor, a person with the pen. And when I talk about pastors today, I'm not just talking about me, the senior pastor. I'm talking about the elders of a church who shepherd and father the church as a whole. I'm talking about the compass group leaders and care group leaders that oversee those collective small groups throughout that are scattered all around and shepherd them and father them and pray for them and do life with them. A teacher gives you information. A father gives you his life. He gives you his heart. He gives you his time. He gives you his ear and his attention. He invests his affections with you so that when you weep, he weeps with you. When you rejoice, he rejoices with you. He doesn't have to ask you all the time what's going on in your life because he's doing life with you and he knows what's going on in your life. You can have 10,000 people to give you different information. You go on the internet and look stuff up. You can go on TV and hear preachers all day long. You can buy books at the Christian bookstore. There's all kinds of stuff out there that will give you information if that's all you're looking for. But if you're looking for someone who will bleed with you and weep with you and do life together with you and pour themselves into your life and receive your life in exchange, that's what a father does. That's what a pastor does. That's what a compass group leader does. It's what an elder or a shepherd does. That's what brings life. 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul said to the guys over in Thessalonica, he said, so affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our what? Also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. That's the way it's supposed to work. That's the way it's supposed to work. I love doing life with people, man. I love what Darlene said one time. Or what do they say that? A voice of the prophets, they said a shepherd should smell like sheep. He ought to stink like a sheep. Because he ought to be there rubbing up against them. Just, you know, helping them, carrying them on his shoulder, feeding them, enjoying them. A shepherd should smell like sheep. A father should smell like his children. He should have jam on his shirt because he was hugging his kids who had jam all over them, or jelly, or all fruit, or whatever you happen to have. Where's Matt? Yeah, sorry, buddy. Polanders. peanut butter. Yeah, he ought to have a little peanut butter on him. He ought to have a little bit of maybe a saliva on his cheek where his kid just reached up and gave him one of those. You know how when they first learn how to give you a kiss and they're not sure how to do it and they just open their mouth and they put it on your face? And you get that slobber all over. You ought to have a little slobber on your cheeks if you're going to be a good dad. Little dirt on your shirt. Little jam. Praise God. We should never be just information givers, but life givers. We need to spend time with those whom we are fathering, whether a congregation or our own children. We ought to take the time to really listen to them, even when they only have stupid stuff to say. Listen, man, when your kids, when your daughters turn 12 or 13 and they get enamored with these boys on TV and they want to put a poster up on the wall. Yeah, Jennifer's laughing. Look at that. Look at that face. She's turning red.